Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the Celtic Soul podcast, and you're all very welcome back to the show. My guest today will be Easter House-born Celtic fan and Kena Foundation trustee, Joe Mackin. I would like to thank this episode's sponsor, our good friends in Philadelphia, the Ploughboys Celtic Supporters Club, and the news this week that flights will resume from November into the USA from Ireland and the UK was music to all our ears ahead of next year's big North American Federation Celtic Supporters Club convention in Las Vegas. And hopefully we'll be back also for the Super Bowl weekend and a return to Philadelphia for the Philly Failer, one of the best weekends on the Celtic Supporters calendar stateside. And if you would like to be like the Ploughboys and sponsor an episode of the podcast or sponsor us in the fanzine, you can do so by contacting us through the website, celticfanzine.com, on social media, where you'll find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn under Celtic Fanzine. And you can also email us at info@celticfanzine.com. We are fully fan-funded, which enables us to produce free content across all our platforms. We do not have a Patreon, and we do not go behind a paywall. But look, if you can't afford it, and you would like to do so, you can support us by visiting CelticFanzine.com, where you can donate for the price of a pint, and you can also support us by becoming a member, subscribing to the fanzine, buying a copy of the fanzine, a t-shirt, or some of our merchandise at our online shop. And thanks very much to Paul Heaton for sporting our three-stripe Glasgow t-shirt recently at a festival over in the UK. Thanks to Paul, the t-shirt sold out quickly, and I suppose you could say that's the power of pop. It's been a few weeks since the last podcast because we've been off gallivanting away days, following Celtic and enjoying our freedoms again. But we were also busy putting the new issue of the fanzine together as well. So it wasn't all fun and games, but it was enjoyable putting the fanzine together, our 20th anniversary issue. And it was great to, I suppose, get in contact with some of the old writers as well and have a little chat with them and thank them for their contributions over those 20 years. But anyway, the last podcast we had playwright Jim Orr and comedian Des McLean on from Bend It Like Bertie. The play was a sellout. It was a complete success. I wasn't there myself, but I look forward to some more dates being added, maybe over an international break or maybe when the season's finished. Who knows? Or maybe we might see the boys in Las Vegas, and that would be nice, wouldn't it? But anyway, Martin Donaldson was there for us, and you can read his full review of the show in issue 117 of More Than 90 Minutes, which is with Richie, our graphic designer at the moment. And I'd like to thank everyone who contributed. The digital edition will be out early next week, and then once we have posted out copies to all our subscribers and those who have pre-ordered a copy, it will be on general sale and hopefully back on match day sale soon at the ground and in and around Glasgow, which we look forward to getting back to so much this season as well. We're back now in stadium and back at travelling to see the Celtic. Brilliant. It's a packed fanzine, and I thank Mick Kane for getting a great interview with Celtic fan and former international and Premier League player Trevor Sinclair. And we also look back at, as I said, 20 years of publication going on sale outside Celtic Park. I think, if memory serves me right, we beat Dunfermline that day and Chris Sutton got a couple. But things were smooth back then under Martin O'Neill, but they're just not as smooth as we had hoped for this season. The debate still lingers on among Celtic fans as to why Dominic McKay has stood down as CEO after only 3 months in the job. I record this podcast on the day after we beat Raith Rovers in the League Cup quarters, and now only holders St Johnson stop us from reaching another final. That game will take place in November, I think it's around the 20th, and Hibs are in the other semi-final where they take on the new club. Celtic this season have been like it's been like a Jekyll and Hyde movie. Three scoring winners at home, but can't get a result on the road. And up next, it's Dundee United at home on Sunday, and with 9 points already dropped, we just can't allow any more slip-ups. And then it's on to another big European night at Celtic Park under the lights against Bayer Leverkusen. The stadium is almost full now, with the exception of the red area where the players still have to sit socially distancing. But once that's lifted, we'll be able to welcome back away fans. And what a buzz that will be, because, you know, we want to go to away games, so we should want away fans to come to our stadium, because they do add some atmosphere, and it's good to have rivalry, especially for those who sit in the corner of the main stand or the Lisbon Lions stand, where they can have a pop at the away fans and a bit of banter. It was strange travelling to Seville, knowing that there was little chance of getting into the stadium after the ticket fiasco between the UEFA and the local authorities. But look, like so many, I had flights and hotels booked and off I went. And it was great to be travelling again. There was a lovely buzz in Dublin Airport, hooking up with lads I hadn't seen in ages, including Davy Scott, who I think the last time I saw Davy was in Gibraltar when Brendan Rodgers' first game in charge, and we lost to Red Imps. But Brendan soon righted that wrong, and we all know the success that followed. But hopefully we'll have tickets sorted for the upcoming trips to Germany and Hungary. Seville was amazing. It wasn't as busy or as mad as the last time we visited in 2003, but the locals didn't forget us. I lost my phone, and I can thank a guy called Javi, a bar owner, who helped me get my phone back. It took 24 hours, but he did help, and he also offered me his season ticket for the game. So there are some really good Real Betis fans out there, and I thanked them. I also got to go to the Penna, which is like a supporters club where they have a bar and serve food, and each community in Seville would have a Penna. So I suppose, yeah, the easiest way to describe it is like a supporters club, and like a supporters club, it also plays its part in the community. And I thanked Jorge, who I made a presentation on behalf of the Devon and Walkers and the Don Patricio group. So that was an honour for me to do that, and I thank Fergus for giving me the opportunity, and I thank Jorge for his hospitality. Hopefully we'll have an interview with Jorge coming up soon enough. Don't forget, folks, the podcast is available across all platforms, so please subscribe and follow on your preferred platform, be that Apple, Acast, Spotify, we're on them all. And if you do hit that subscribe or follow button, which is free, you'll never miss an episode. And also, please visit our YouTube channel, Celtic Fanzine TV, and hit the subscribe button. You'll find all our shows there, including this podcast, and you'll also find Talk from the Terrace and the Grand Isle History Podcast. They're also all available on CelticFanzine.com, where you'll also find news and articles, and as I said, all our podcast video content and our online shop. And finally, don't forget to download our free app, Celtic Fanzine, and you'll find that on the App Store and on the Android Store and what have you, and it's free. And with that, you'll get access to everything we do on your phone or your tablet at the touch of a finger. And I'd like to wish the new home of Celtic AM in Glasgow, Murphy's Irish Bar in the Merchant Sea, all the best for this weekend when they finally open after being ready before COVID and then having a few hiccups. We were supposed to be there recently for the Ross County game with Celtic AM, but wasn't ready to open, and but we hope to be back soon. Maybe the St. Johnson game, or maybe even a European game before that. So best of luck, Joe, Keith and all the staff, and look forward to getting in for a pint. Joe Macken hails from Easter House in Glasgow. His Celtic supporting life started as a young 6-year-old boy, and having served his apprenticeship under the old TV gantry in the jungle, he has now moved, as has the stadium, to a new stadium and a new season book in the main stand. But on match days, you'll find Joe, or well, on most match days, you'll find Joe in the Lisbon Lion Lower, behind the goals, with the Kano Foundation. Hi Joe, you're very welcome to the Celtic Soul podcast. How's life now that we're getting back to a bit of normality after lockdown and the return to paradise?
Good evening, Andrew. Life's getting back to normal, as you say, back working a bit more, getting the kids back into the stadium slowly but surely. So hopefully we'll continue, we won't have any setbacks.
Hopefully, Joe. I think over here we've about 90% of people vaccinated, and we open up fully on the 22nd of October. So I think we're out of the water here. So Glasgow's a little ahead of us. I've enjoyed
hope so.
A few drinks in Glasgow, let's just say, since I've returned, and I suppose I've enjoyed the freedom, a bit more freedom than we have here. So I think everyone here is looking forward to the 22nd of October. But Joe, it's been a tough season. Last season was a tough season. This season it's been a mixed bag. Poor away form, goals galore at home, which will be good news ringing in your ear for the kids that go to the games, because I suppose when you're young, the most important thing is to see the team scoring, and so you can celebrate and have a wee song to sing. But anyway, look, when I look at the team now, Joe, if I can just kind of bring us up to date. As I said, it's been a tough season last year. Mixed bag this season. Plenty of goals. A new manager. Didn't bring in his backroom team, which did surprise us. Plenty of new players. Plenty of new faces, some we haven't seen yet. A new CEO who lasted, I think, 72 days, 3 months. We've had no replacement at the head of the recruitment at the club. I think he left in March. We have the bizarre appointment of Dundee employee and former Celtic manager Gordon Strachan on a 3-month consultancy role. Now, some would say we're in a transition period, but others would say there's little stability or leadership at board level. So, Joe, I know you deal with the board through the charity, but I want you to put your own, I want you to take your Kano hat off and your Celtic fans hat on. And just give us your thoughts, because I think I've recapped the last couple of months since I was speaking to you.
I'll see you just reading that out there, that list. It's actually quite farcical, isn't it? When you get them one after another like that. The new manager coming in, everybody's got high hopes. But see, as soon as he doesn't bring his own backroom team, you're thinking, is he a yes man? Is he going to work? How can he work with these people? So he's had a wee go at it. Personally, I don't think it's working. I think he's going to get a wee bit, maybe tougher might be the word, with the board and the team. You see, at Celtic Park, I like the way the whole team moves. If the left wingers get the ball, the right back's still moving, try to get involved. I do like watching that. But the total reverse is like Sunday, when you go a goal down, the team sits in the box, and there's no plan B, there's no change. We don't try and get rid of them, we don't throw the big man up front and lump the bottom. It's still the exact same. And that, to me, is a wee bit kind of the way Gordon Strachan played with his fingers crossed. If it didn't work, he sat it out and he sat it out hoping that his plan was going to come. Surely you've got to a wee bit about you to see that it's not working. How do we change it and try and influence the game? He just seems to stand there at the touchline and be very calm and go through the motions for me. Boardroom level, it's just as chaotic, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard being a fan watching that and taking that in and just being totally bewildered of what's going on, because there's nothing really coming out of the club. The new man comes in. Dom comes in. You've got high hopes for him. A new change, new regime. 72 days, as you say, the man's gone. And that's just the past week or so. It seems to me as if it's getting back to the way it was. Dealing with the club, you probably know yourself, isn't it the easiest or the best thing to do, especially under the Lawwell regime? These people coming in, I think they might get it because they've made a couple of changes up the ladder to set themselves. People are saying it's for the PLC board and they've got to date and things like that, but I think they'll find their feet under the table, will be quite comfy, and things will stay the same. So, going forward, I like the style of football. Hopefully, it'll kick in. They'll all start fighting for one another again when the backs are against the wall, and hopefully we'll turn that around and turn it into a good season.
Yeah, hopefully, Joe. I from everyone I've been speaking to, it's the, like, if the current CEO, the acting CEO, had been put in the position at the start of the season, there would have been a riot outside Celtic Park because it would have been seen as more of the same.
If he was that good, why did they not get the job in the first place? He's been 100%. There for years and years.
But we're told as well, Joe, that Dom's the man. He's headhunted for the job. You know, he wasn't the CEO of Scottish Rugby, but he was second in command. And, you know, everyone's raving about this guy. And Ian Bankia, on the day he was, the day he was announced, and the day they've done the press conference with Ange, it's like he tells us he's all singing and dancing and they've done due diligence and they've I'd hate to see who else was in for the job if Dom only lasts 3 months. Now there's only two reasons. It's not for personal reasons. There's only two reasons. He's jumped ship because he's not been allowed to do his job. Or the other one is the job's not big enough for him. He's not big enough for the job. He just thinks it's too much pressure. I doubt that. I doubt it 3 months. I feel, and I could be completely wrong, and I'm kind of tabloiding this now. I think it's interference from the board. It's stamped all over it. He said at the fans' press conference that he'd done, that Aaron attended on behalf of us, that he was going to go out. He was going to take his time. He was going to look at what best practice was throughout Europe and throughout world football. You know, people asked him what the structure was going to be. He said, yeah, we're going to look. And now what we have is we have a part-time employee come in as a consultant, which is, and I look, like, Gordon Strang is a lovely man, but like, it just is this most bizarre. He's an employee of Dundee. And it's just so bizarre, Joe, that we now have, we haven't, like, with the exception, we've changed manager. And the players that didn't want to be there last year are gone.
Yep.
And the best of luck to them. But no thanks for some of the effort last year. We've a new team. We've basically a new team in, right? Anthony Ralston wasn't good enough for a game last year. And he's been sensational.
And fantastic.
His effort and attitude has been brilliant. So, like, at least that's something. Ange said, right, well, he had nothing else to walk with. And he gives the guy a go. And you'd wonder why the coaches that have been there for so long couldn't see this in this kid, you know?
Yep.
And if memory serves me right, and I could be wrong, I bumped into Anthony Ralston when he was out on loan, coming back from a lads' night out in Dublin. I'm on a plane coming home from, or coming back, going to Glasgow to a game. And Anthony Ralston's coming back from Dublin. He thinks he's been on a jolly up with a few of his mates. And I think it's a cup final. And I ask him, is he going to the cup final? At this stage, he's on loan. He's not, he's still a Celtic player, but he's out on loan.
Yep.
He tells me he doesn't have a ticket for the game. He didn't get a ticket from Celtic, which I was shocked by. He said he was going to watch it in the house. This is a guy that wasn't good enough to get a ticket. And now he's good enough to be a forced choice, which is a great story for him. But it just goes to show you that somewhere along the line, our Celtic just,
there's something missing.
There's so many things missing. And, yep. Like, I want to be on this podcast and I want to be positive because, it's my team and it's your team. And we want to be on talking about the road to Seville and, in a way, winning Europe and great days and that. And look, if I look at a positive so far this season, it's been Kyogo has been Brilliant. He's got us off our seats in Celtic Park. And this is the kind of stuff we get, you know. But I suppose the happiest story, Joe, of the season so far is we've all made a return to paradise.
We'll get back, yeah.
Every season ticket holder's been back. It started off with 2,000. I was lucky enough to get in, I think, on the 8,000, and I've been lucky enough since. Some fans were unlucky. They didn't get in until more recent. But when did the Cana get back?
We went back the first game, but we'd done it as like a trial. So we did. We only took like family and friends just to see, because we didn't know if, I think it was a week before, we didn't know if we were getting a time slot to get in. We didn't know what gate we were getting in. So there was logistics to sort out. So we couldn't actually invite any groups to come along in case it was a mess on the day. Which so happened when we took, I think it was 50 kids or something the first week. We go to the turnstile and the stewards didn't know we were coming, our tickets wouldn't work. So just as well, we had the wee trial, shall we say. So the last game there, we took, I think it was about 90 kids. So we stepped it up a wee bit. Stewards still didn't know we were coming, put us in a different gate. So third time lucky, hopefully. Hopefully we'll get it on Sunday. I think we've got 130 kids on Sunday.
Oh, so brilliant, Joe.
We've stepped it up again, so hopefully the stewards will know we're coming. Hopefully we'll get in okay and it'll go back to normal, hopefully.
Joe, I've said it so many times that this is the feel-good charity, the feel-good factor, because so many charities, and not worthy charities, but, you know, there's a hard luck story and a heartbreaking story, and the kind of story is just one of, happiness, you know?
It's always, everything's positive. Even if, as you say, we can't get into the stadium or church halls, no electricity or something, we get around it, we make amends, we make the best of it. As long as the kids have the best day possible, that's all we're about, really. As long as the kids enjoy themselves, we've done our job. We get him happy at night.
Now, I would imagine regular listeners to the podcast will know what the Cano Foundation is, but just in case we have some new listeners or some people who aren't fully aware of the Cano story, just briefly, Joe, can you tell us the history of the Cano and how it came about and why it came about?
The Cano started 11 years ago now, and it started by guys on CQN were collecting for a boy called Martin Kane in Australia. He woke up one day, no well, sore neck, and ended up, he was paralysed from the neck down. So Celtic fans were collecting for him. I think it was £68,000 they collected to adapt to his house. He couldn't get out of hospital. He could get his medical and that, but to get home, he had to get his house adapted. So we collected money, got his house adapted, and they actually done a bucket collection at the game. The kids had done a bucket collection they took into the game. So somebody had the idea of transforming it into a kids' charity. Just for that. So that's me going along to the first meeting, Babbitty Bowser's in the town. And the initial idea of asking for 20 tickets, see if the fans could sponsor 20 tickets. That initial first drive, we get 50 tickets. So we did. So we had to go to Celtic, try and sort out all the legal stuff. But we took it to there. So 11 years later, we've now got 186 tickets, 154 kids' tickets. And they're open to anybody that wants them. Anybody that applies, you just go on a waiting list for all over the country, all over Ireland. So anybody that wants them, they're available. So basically that's the stage we're at now. We've got these tickets, we need them full. So we need people to start applying and getting these kids to the games.
I've seen kids going over in the bowl. I've seen kids in airports. I've seen football teams.
I've actually seen them in the stadium enjoying it as well.
Yeah, and then you get into the ground, and then I was invited one day. Thank you so much, Joe. I swapped my seat in the main stand, and I went around just to see what the crack was. And they're so looked after, Joe. They get a bit of food. I think I even got a free pie. Not that I need one, but I think
that's
I did.
Didn't
But yeah, it's a great experience, and I think it's, as I said, it's the feel good factor charity. But have you been involved, Joe, since the start?
Yes, the very first meeting I've been involved. I think we had six people initially, and that kind of whittled down to four. we kind of picked up a wee bit with volunteers and helpers. The initial four, I ended up with five. Sometimes it was six, but four or five steady volunteers throughout the years. A couple come and going, just natural sort of thing. People day a year, people day 4 years, but I've been there from the start. The ones that are there now, there's me, Gillian, Mark, we're all there for the start. Big Brian was there, I think it was the following year. I met Big Brian in Vegas and he asked to help. So he was there about a year, year and a half later. Unfortunately, Pat, who came maybe a year or 2 years into it, Pat's actually just resigned there as well. He's got family commitments. He couldn't get as much time near he could. So we're actually doing interviews to replace Pat as a trustee. We've got a wee band of volunteers, but we thought we'd put it out there just to see what kind of people are out there that would actually want to get involved. And to be fair, it's actually worked for us. We've had lawyers, business managers, accountants, you name it. Everybody's applying. I think we've had about 20-odd people applying.
Brilliant, yeah. Joe, what's the difference between, let's say, a volunteer and a trustee?
The trustees will be round a board table making financial decisions, future planning, see where match day experience that you were talking about there with the kids.
Yeah.
That's run totally with volunteers. Erin and Pat used to do it. So Erin stepped up, Neil stepped up to help Erin now. So it's Erin and Neil who actually totally deal with all the applications, the food turning up on the day, what time we're meeting at, walking the kids around to the stadium. A trustee doesn't need to be involved in that because I've got it down to a T. So the trustees' main role is future planning, as I said, basically financial decisions. If the volunteers want something, suggest something, then we'll meet in the boardroom and we'll decide if it's a go or not. That's basically the two different roles.
And as you said, about 20 people employed and from all walks of life as well. So
yep.
It just goes to show that the Kenna Foundation is well out there within the Celtic support.
It was actually an eye-opener to us, yeah. So it was the amount of people that applied and, as you see, all walks of life, all walks, just a normal supporter to everything. I couldn't even get through them or there was that many. Everything applied.
And if people want to volunteer, Joe, like to help out with anything, the same thing, just contact the Kano.
Yes, just contact, yeah. Obviously, a wee bit about yourself, what you do. The thing about the match day, is that's why we opened up the trustees, because we'll get maybe nine people on a match day. So we have, if two can't make it, another two will step in. So that's kind of a covered one match day. So that's how we kind of are thinking about being more community-based. What that entails, we don't really know what direction we're going to do in, whether it's feeding the kids more, whether it's helping kids with their exams. But we're going to try and be more community-based, rather than just take kids to the football. That will never change. We'll always take kids to the football. That's for bread and butter. But we just feel we can help in other ways now. We're big enough, we're strong enough, we're wise enough to help in other ways. But what actual direction we go down, we don't know yet. So once we get maybe the other trustee in, sit down, have a word, and see what we can do. Maybe a couple of paths in front of us and we'll pick one.
Yeah, Joe, I think that's... I think it's great that, like, you're not just going to be static and you're going to try and grow. And it's so important that every Celtic charity is steeped in the community.
See, we've never had a lottery grant or any type of funding. Every single penny in 11 years has been fan-funded, whether that's bucket collections or people just walking up to the game and giving you 10 and 20 quid. Every single penny is fan-funded. So we also need to be a wee bit wary of that. Maybe you'll not give me £1 a week to go and help the kids' exams or whatever. So we need to watch what we're doing, what line we go down. But it won't be too far away for things like that. Do you know what I mean? I don't think people would moan and grumble about things like that if you're still providing a service and helping. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Joe, before I get into the funding, because it is fan-funded and there's a few bits and pieces I want to ask you about that. How many kids are we now through the turnstiles?
We just broke through. See the very week that the COVID struck and the games got cancelled. That was our 11,000th kid. So the game we took were friends and family. The wee trial game, we didn't count that. And the next game, that last game there, with 11,000 kids through the turnstiles.
Unbelievable. Well done.
It's
hello to you and to everybody involved.
It's pretty phenomenal. I've seen a few people say that, but in my mind, I think of the first 3-4 years when we had no money at all. We're all chipping money in. We're buying Celtic tickets and having a dance to pay for it. And oh, it was just crazy. We're trying to pay in installments.
Rather than pay to the PayPal.
Yeah, all the memories come flooding back to me. So they did.
But Joe, nobody walks before they crawl.
No, and it helps you, I think. It does help you in the long run, because you know, even if it does get back to being that bad, I know we can survive and get through it again.
Yeah.
The way 100%. We try and work, the way we try and work just now is, with our accounts, we try and keep 3 years' money, so that if there's a world disaster or something goes wrong,
heaven forbid.
Yeah, I know, we can, if there's a COVID situation, we can survive it. So that's our kind of our business model. We always try and keep 3 years' money there.
Which is also a great business model.
And it also lets you say to Celtic, we're not going away, we're still going to be here.
Oh, well, that's for sure. Joe, as you said, the charity is fully fan-funded. I always get tongue-tied when I say that, because it's like this, like everything we do, the fans in the podcast, it's all fan-funded. Like we don't have any Patreon or put stuff behind a paywall. Everything's free. But if you want to buy a fanzine or you want to buy a T-shirt, you can. So, but when I'll be doing my intro to this podcast, I'll say fully fan-funded, and I might have to do it. One of my mates will say to me, he says, why don't you just change that? He says, because you can't pronounce it. But anyway, the charity is fully fan-funded. And last season, like, you had the expense of paying for all the season books, even though nobody got into the games. But Celtic fans did rally around, Joe. There was money raised. I remember before it kind of went public, I was speaking to the boys from Nave Porrick, and Eddie Toner had been speaking to them. Yep. And they said, look, we're gonna raise some money, and we're gonna give it to this charity, but it's gonna be low key. We're not gonna, you know, do a fundraising drive. We're just gonna do it within our clubs. Then Mark, who's the chairman of Nave Porrick, yep, he got on to Hilly, who's the chairman of St Margaret's, and it went out, and we have a WhatsApp group, and just Saturday night we were doing nothing, only having a few cans sitting at home with each other. So these were the best nights for raising money. So he put it out. Everybody sent money to the account. But I later found out that the club had already sent money anyway. So, like, yes, it was great. And then I know, I know Eric O'Brien would have got involved, and Marty up in Ballymena. I'm sure there's clubs everywhere. And then it went public, I think. I think you went on the Homeboys podcast. And
yes,
so it kind of grew from there.
I think that's where Eddie heard me. Just like this, I was just sitting talking. I think they asked me a question about the board, how we deal with Celtic. And I was a wee bit down about it, shall we say. So I go to the stage where everybody thought I was going to chuck it. And I say, no, you can't chuck it. You can't chuck this. You can't stop this. And I'm not chucking it. And basically it came down to, we paid 20,000 for our season tickets. 22,000, whatever it was, and there was no chance of going to the football. So I think Eddie and Mark came up with the idea of raising the 20,000, but they were going to go around CSCs and try and just give us it. But as I say, I don't know, they actually went to the Homeboys, and that's when it really took off, because they involved, like, the CSA over here. They had a collection through other buses. Even people at Perth, Australia, Wimbledon, they're brilliant with us. Closer to home, you had, like, you know, Michael Davitts, Lisbon Lions, Denison. They all just took off. So they did. They all started doing individual projects. We had the boys end up raising 20 grand. So they did. And that's phenomenal. Just a 20 grand check in hand.
And that's something that goes unnoticed, because everyone comes out and criticises the boys when they do something, and they contacted me, and they actually sponsored a podcast as well, Joe, during the lockdown, because they were obviously enjoying the content. And just out of the blue, it got, now obviously it's not expensive to sponsor a podcast, but it does help, and especially during lockdown, it helped, you know.
Especially when you're fan funded, Andrew.
Yeah, and these boys had like 20,000.
That's
from a bunch of ultras is absolutely brilliant, you know. And I've always said about both ultra groups are Celtic. You know, people think these are Neds. These boys are intelligent lads. You know, they put a lot of thought into everything they do.
And well, they walked up Ben Lomond, I think it was. They climbed Ben Lomond. I think it was the boys and some of the boys for Govan Emerald. So there was a collaboration, and they raised $10,000, then they doubled it.
So that's amazing.
What did you say when somebody hands you a cheque for $20,000? You know what I mean?
Thanks to be a start.
You're not getting the words. You can't thank them enough. Yeah, you can. I mean, there was boys that done the 5K walk. There was a guy in China going out walking 5K every day. They raised about $9,000.
So unbelievable. And Joe, it was a massive, massive own goal for the club at a time when
terrible.
It was a season that everything went tits up, and this was just as a massive own goal, because this was kind of like it was everything that the club isn't, you know. The PLC stands for everything that the club doesn't stand for, you know, like the history of the club and, you know, why we were founded. And
I just can't give it my head. The club took $20,000 off a kids' charity, knowing we weren't going to get back into that stadium. There's just nothing right about that, Andrew. There's nothing right about that at all. And they knew that, and they didn't give a damn. They only did.
And I can see how upset, for those listening on audio, I can see how upset Joe still is over this. But Joe, am I correct in saying that they haven't charged it this season, so they have repented?
No. You were talking earlier on about Dom. Dom came in. I don't talk to Celtic at all now. My relationship with Celtic just broke down that much. There was no point. So Gillian actually talks to Celtic now. So Gillian will have Zoom meetings with them or whatever, face-to-face meetings. At the start of the season, through Dominic...
So we're talking Dominic McKay here?
Yes. I didn't meet the man. Gillian met him, Brian met him, and they said it was fantastic. It was brand new, great ideas. But the club actually gave us £7,000. They paid for all the kids' tickets this year. We still paid £13,000 for the adults to take the kids, but they actually gave us £7,000, which I was amazed at myself. Right. I wasn't expecting anything like that, you know. But they actually gave us they paid for all the kids' tickets this year. So they did make amends, tried to make amends. Dom was actually supposed to be coming into the last game with the kids. So he wanted to experience just what you'd done, experience the whole situation. He was going to come to the church hall, have a burger, have a hot dog, walk around with the kids and sit with the kids. But as we know, it didn't last that long. So I'm afraid, I'm just scared it's going to be back to normal.
And was he the first board member that ever said, I'd like to come and see what you do?
Yes. So with a wee bit of hope for a better relationship, things started well, we were promised things came through, but in the past week or so, it's kind of been a wee bit sketchy again.
So fill us in. the saga.
They'll all be turning off, they'll all be bored. It's just, there's been a lot of fans. This year we're getting £50 vouchers. So we didn't know what to do with £50 vouchers. We can't just go and buy, say, 1,000 T-shirts. We're taking 2,000 kids to football. So that means 1,000 Wains are going to get a T-shirt and 1,000 of them. So that's a wee bit unfair. We can't go and buy pencils and sharpeners and cups and things like that. Because where do we store them? How do we give them to the kids? So it was a wee bit tricky for us. People were wanting to donate their £50 season ticket vouchers. So we asked the club, see if people donate. Can we use them? Yes, certainly. So thought, brilliant, this is great. We went down to the superstore and asked, can we just buy strips with them? Can we buy like bottles of whiskies and things like that? So if we go to dances, say we go to your dance, your annual dance, we've got wee raffle prizes and things like that. Can we turn things into money? They actually suggested we could turn them into gift vouchers. And we can use them throughout the season. So we didn't need to just
that
spend
makes sense.
All the money. That was a great idea. We didn't even think of that. We went down last week and all that was kind of a poo-pooed and reneged, so we don't know if they're going to come through with that. They're their own suggestions, which we're still in discussions with them. I've got a meeting tomorrow with them. So
what you're telling me, Joe, is it's frustrating.
Andrew, as I said earlier on, you know, yourself, it's just so hard. It's really hard. I've no inkling why it's so hard. I don't know, working with them for 11 years, why it's so hard. We have nothing bad about us. We're all goodwill stories. We don't bring anything at all to their door, negative. But it's just something doesn't click in there. I don't know what it is. It just, nothing runs smooth.
Do you think, Joe, that it's because that Celtic have their own charity and they want to put that out front and they don't want to be seen to be promoting other charities?
I would hope not, because we don't compete with Celtic Foundation. Celtic Foundation are working in millions and we're working in thousands. It's total different end of the scale. Do you know what I mean? So there's no reason to think that way. You know, there is. There's much bigger projects. We're basically taking kids to a football game. That is be all and end all we do. We do have the odd dance, we do have a odd bucket collection, normally start of the season. But we don't interfere with, we don't try and stand on or block Celtic Foundation bucket collections and things like that. We don't try and time it, saying, try and catch some of their money or steal their money. So there's no competition there at all.
And do you think if Dan McKay, the exiting CEO, had I got the chance to come see what just do, that, you know, probably would have made things a lot easier, maybe, to, yes, when you are negotiating with the board about £50 vouchers?
Yes, we had high hopes, because by all accounts it was Dom that transformed the Scottish rugby and brought more kids to the Scottish rugby. It was like a pound to get into the rugby and things like that. So we're hoping his ideas that he'd used in the rugby could benefit us. We kind of asked the question that when he came, are you going to keep the £50 season tickets going? Because that's basically a lifeblood. If that even doubles, then we're in trouble. So as long as they keep the £50 season tickets, I'm not being funny, but we don't really need a lot of the Celtic. With the relationship getting better, we did ask for our names on the screens and things like that. All these things kind of fell away throughout the years. So we were starting to ask for wee things like that again. But nothing, we don't really need, we're quite self-sufficient. We don't really need Celtic. We don't need worrying kind of a certain areas. We don't need special treatment getting in and out. We don't need to feeding areas and things like that. We've sorted all that ourselves. So there's no demands on Celtic. So I don't see why the relationship is so sticky and hard. See, if I knew the reason, I'd go in and hammer it out with them. If it's me, if it's somebody in there, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. Every time you go and talk to them, it's, these are doing great and we respect yous, but it doesn't come across that way when you're actually wanting action off them. It's just hard. It's just hard. That's the easiest way I can explain it.
So, it's been great talking about the Kano, but I want to find out a little about Joe Mackin, because... Take me back to those early days in Easterhouse, starting to follow Celtic and, I suppose, growing up in the jungle.
Yep.
Serving your apprenticeship.
My brother used to take me to games for a young age. As I say, he used to be 6 or 7. It must have been. It must have been 76, 77. And he used to stand in the jungle, so I was always in the jungle. Once I was a wee bit older and they let me a wee bit more freedom, I'd wander up the back a wee bit and get involved in the singing and the dancing, so... Some of the games were really tight when you were young. You were just kind of you get lifted and you just floated whatever way the crowd went. And even, I can remember some right hairy even reserve games, Celtic Rangers reserve games, maybe Monday nights and things like that. That's when we're called Rangers, right enough. But some of the times in the jungle were really good, because as you go a bit older, it was an experience just getting to Celtic Park and getting home, like on the buses and things. So you had a crowd of friends feast through, shall we say, but you had to go through all the other schemes on the bus. So depending on which schemes you went, you had to get the seats up to the windies and try and save yourself and things like that. So you know, a wee bit of hair and scare them at times. But it wouldn't change it for the world. What an upbringing, it was brilliant.
Yeah, you mentioned your brother there, and the Celtic is, you know, it's sometimes people go, oh, not that statement again, the Celtic family. But I suppose outside the corporate slogans, you know, it is kind of like a family joke because we've so many friends that we've met. You know, as you say, your brother took you. I'm sure within the first couple of games, there was a kid somewhere that you hooked up with, or, you know, a mate from Easterhouse that was going to games. And, you know, you progress then into your teens and you meet people, yep. And you start going into Glasgow. And then all of a sudden you realise, you know, this club is massive because there's people coming off from Ireland, there's people coming off from England. And then there's the whole American thing, Australian thing. So, like, it's a kind of a huge family. And the match day experience, as I always say, is more than 90 minutes. I struggled, Joe, last season. I wouldn't say I mentally struggled, but it was certainly, it was a tough time because I felt like a prisoner in my own home on match day because it's something I'm not used to. Yep. You know, there was, you know, Sandra and Connor wouldn't watch games with me anymore because I'm normally quiet at a game, but I found myself shouting at the television and the dog was looking at me. Henrik was going, fuck's going on with you?
That was your out. That was just getting your frustration out.
Yeah, and like normally when you leave a stadium when you've had a bad result, but it's home or away, you're on the bus, supporters bus, if it's an away game, or if you're in a European city, you're walking into a bar. And then if you're in Glasgow, you're either heading to the airport with your pals, or you're heading on back on the bus, you know, to the ferry, or you're going down to Gallagher for a pint, or into the city for a pint. And you have this thing where you can talk out the game, your frustrations. Yeah. And someone will put their arm around you and say, oh, don't worry about it, look, we'll be back next week or something. But the virtual experience for me was very hard because I was walking to the local shop, which is 2 minutes away, to get a couple of cans after the game. You know, and the only person I could talk to was a young lad behind the counter. And he would do his best to talk me out of my frustrations, Joe. So I'm so far away from Glasgow. But you're in Glasgow, Joe, right? Now, there's good and bad things in that because you also have to put up with the other side of the city when they're winning, yeah. which can be a head wrecker. How was your virtual experience?
Very similar, I would say. It was strange for me because I'm normally on the go for maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. Saturday morning, my phone just doesn't stop. What time are we meeting at? Who's coming? Oh, I'm going to be late and blah, blah, blah. So my phone doesn't stop. You're normally meeting people round about the ground, whether it be the Irish kids who've been at maybe 11:30, or you're meeting people who give them polo tops, scarves or whatever before the game. So see the virtual, you were sitting about to 3 o'clock waiting in the kickoff, and I didn't know what to do with myself on a Saturday morning because you weren't getting out. So you're just sitting about the house, volunteering to do dishes and cleaning the players before 3 o'clock, just waiting on the game coming. So my experience was very similar, but it was a full day I was missing. You're probably the same because you're normally flying over on the Saturday, you're up early on the Saturday. So it was a full day's experience I was missing. So it was.
I could cope before the game, Joe, because like at the start I didn't miss, you know, getting up at 5 a.m. and 4:30 to travel. Yeah. But because you know, getting up in the morning, take the dog for a stroll, you know, do what you have to do. I was doing a lot of stuff online with the fanzine and a lot of you know, writing blogs and blah blah blah. So I was kept busy. But it was after the game was hard enough, but it was after the game.
I see your WhatsApp groups, they were always digging after games and whatever, that helped.
Yeah, and I had to go off social media because it just got that toxic. And the WhatsApp group, maybe you're in two or three, but you kind of go, right, I'm not going to answer that one today because, you know.
It's just too wild.
Yeah, and you can find yourself, I don't know, Joe, like arguing with people. But then at the end of it, like instead of sitting in the bar, don't talking the game out and having a bit of crack, you were sitting in the kitchen having a can on your own and, you know, wondering, will I ever get back? And the release.
During lockdowns and Saturday nights, I always had to actually had a drink. I would just sit and listen to my music, watch YouTube or whatever on telly, because there was all sorts of live music on the Saturday night, even yourself later on. I would always try and have a drink on the Saturday night just to say that's the weekend, I'm having a wee drink just to split it up for the normal weekday yeah. sort of thing.
Well, I kind of stuck to just drinking on a Saturday because I wanted to have a start of the week and an end to the week. So the week started on Monday, yep. Sunday you could recover if you had a few drinks, but Saturday, the week started on a Monday and it finished on a Saturday evening after the football or whatever. So that was kind of my way of dealing with it, Joe. But when I went to Glasgow for the first game, I stayed for 5 days. and it was just brilliant. It was just brilliant just to get back and to go for a pint and meet people. And it was funny, I went to visit friends and they had babies during the lockdown, and people had celebrated birthdays and people had lost loved ones. So trying to do a bit of visiting as well. It wasn't all party, Joe. But Joe, that Celtic family I speak about, I know you've been to Vegas because I've bumped into you in Vegas. And
that's what I love Vegas for, because that's where I meet people from all over the world. I meet them every 2 years, and hopefully I'll never miss Vegas, because I think that's the best thing about Vegas. Meeting the wee old man from Canada or meeting the guy from wherever, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I love it.
And we're back this year because the flights are, we can now fly to the States from November. Yes, so hopefully we'll all be back and having a good old time, Joe. And as you say, chatting to people that you haven't spoke to in ages, apart from online. But Joe, you've also been to Australia. You've also been at functions in Australia with the Kano.
Yes, I was actually asked a couple of times, but it was always January. So I couldn't really have 2 weeks off work at Christmas and disappear in January. So it came, I must have been about 3 years ago now, Andrew.
I remember you going off. I was disgusted you didn't invite me.
I get invited again. So phone's Debbie and I'm saying, Debbie, I've actually been invited to Australia, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you're kidding on, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, I can't really go. So I phone's the guy. I says, look, can't really go. I think Debbie was getting a graduation or something. I said, Debbie's graduation. And the guy says, bring Debbie away. And I was like, oh, that's a game changer. Oh, don't. Phone's Debbie. They're inviting me Tuesday to Australia now. So we ended up, we went, and it was the time of our life. It was absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant. And you know what, Joe? I'm well deserved for all the work you do on behalf of the Kano. And I'm sure you were representing everyone over there, Brian and all the crew, Aaron. Listen, I know, right, we spoke before about the furthest we'd been to see Celtic in the actual team without being at a function.
Yep.
Yours is Toronto?
Toronto, I was, yeah. We were going on a family holiday. We used to go to Toronto every 2 years. And I was supposed to fly back, it was either Friday or the Saturday, and Celtic were playing the Sunday, I think it was. We were playing Roma. So I had to extend the flights for all the 4 days, the full family, cost me an absolute fortune. So, because I wasn't leaving Toronto, because Celtic were going to Toronto. Typical Celtic, they let me down and get beat. After me spending a fortune to go and see them.
But I know people who, I'm not sure about the Canadian connection, but I know people in the States who can't come home for whatever reasons. Yeah. They can't come home. And for them to go to see Celtic in the flesh.
Well, there was a massive American contingent went up to Toronto.
Yeah, it's a huge thing, and I've spoke to people about it, and maybe, in the future that, Celtic could go over. And I remember speaking to, I think it was Joe Cook from LA, and Joe was saying, even if they sent a reserve team or a youth team over, and he says, to a tournament that we could attend.
Yep.
And
how simple is that?
I was complaining there about, COVID and not being able to get to Glasgow, but there is people who live so far away that they just can't get there, it would be great if Sally could send,
I actually experienced that myself, because I had 6 months in Toronto. I stayed there. I was getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning, getting away downtown to see the games and things like that. And it's a wee bit, you need to be dedicated. You need to get up early, and especially the early games now, do you know what I mean? You need to actually be committed and go, especially to keep these clubs alive. Everybody can see it in their houses now. Everybody can have Celtic TV. But to keep your supporters club going, you've got to get up and attend and buy a couple of pints and things like that to keep them ticking over.
Yeah, I've been in a few places.
A big, massive commitment.
Yeah, Joe, I've attended a few pubs over there, over in the States when I've been on holiday or when I'm down with the Philadelphia boys. And, it's strange to walk into a pub at 7 a.m. So I walk into the pub, Joe, at the Plowboys, and I think we're playing Hamilton. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. The place is full. Sunday morning, and I've left it about 12 o'clock the night before and everyone's still down. I'm thinking, did these people sleep here? But they hadn't. They'd gone home. Some of them had gone a good length. They got a few hours kept. They'd go back up and they drove in or they'd got cabs in. And so, it is a great commitment no matter whether you're travelling to the game from anywhere or you're actually travelling to a pub to watch the game with your friends in a distant land.
You mentioned Joe Cook here. He's in LA. They travel for all over 2 hours, 3 hours away to come down to LA Club.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that Joe's going to give me an invite to LA so I can ring you and say, I got an invite to LA. So, it might be Australia, but at least I got one to LA. No, Joe's great. Joe's brilliant. Joe was great during the lockdown as well. I had a couple of conversations with him. He's a great character. Now, listen.
Well, when I was in LA, Joe actually took me out for my dinner.
Here we go. Joe Cook, if you're listening, this isn't on. I feel like a second-class citizen. So listen, back to the Kano before we wrap up. The Kano Foundation, how has it changed you?
Wow. Nobody's ever asked me that before, Andrew. I'd say massively, aye. It's affected my whole life. Good and bad, I may add. A lot of family time missing because I'd say I got up for work at 6 o'clock in the morning. First thing I did, look at my emails. Go to work, tea breaks, dinner breaks, you're phoning people, organising things, emailing people. Come home from work, have your dinner, take your kids to their football, their dancing. So about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, I'm back on my computer. And I'm on my computer to about 1-2 in the morning because I'm talking to people in Australia, Canada, whatever. You're ordering whatever, food, flags, scarves. But you know yourself, one email turns into 10 emails. So if you're talking to somebody now, it's not just can I get this? Any chance of doing that? Your time up. Sort of a thing, especially at the start. So I did. So I affected my family life a lot, but it was always in the back of your head that you were doing the best for the kids, sort of thing. That's how you got through it.
Well done. It was a question that I've kind of
always thought about.
No, I spoke privately with people that run supporters clubs or are involved with different groups, and It does take, and sometimes it takes people take a turn for the worst, innit? And then there can be other people from outside, who cause trouble as well and put people under a lot of stress. So, these things happen, and I just wanted to ask the question. Now, finally, Joe, before I let you go, I have a Celtic Soul time machine, and I like everyone to climb into it. And take us back to a moment or a memory or a match during your life that you'd like to revisit?
Yeah. I would probably need to say Seville. Seville, we were there for a week. It was 80s. We didn't have a ticket to the game. We stayed 2 hours away to Seville. We slept in a park on the Tuesday night. We slept in the bus station the Wednesday night after the game. We had 50-year-old lassie was my wee niece, and it was a 50-year-old boy. The two of them, to this day, say it was the best holiday they've ever had. And that was us getting beat. I would probably need to say Seville. It was just unique. Try to walk through these streets the day of the games was just impossible. The buses were getting stopped, streets were getting shut down. It was just, if you were only there, you couldn't explain it to somebody, you had to see it.
Yeah, it was a special week. I stayed in Benin Medina. We only went up the day of the match. we were going to stay the night, but we got out of Dodge fairly quick after the result because we just jumped on a bus.
Yep.
With Nave Parrick and headed down the road back to our digs because we were so good. I look at Sevilla has been, the build up was brilliant, but the come down was.
Well, I had another.
And then finished off at Kilmarnock, you know.
Well, what I was going to say, I had another bit of experience because we were in Stansted Airport coming back and we had to listen to the Kilmarnock game in the airport lounge. And we had, you know, there's a big massive square. And by the end of it, we had all these people from where they were old. We were jumping about going mad. They were coming here, they were celebrating with us. Then they'd see us kicking chairs and going mental, and they were scared to ask us like what the score was now. So, I lost the league in Stansted Airport, which wasn't great either. That was a final kicking the homage, shall we say, for Seville.
And I'm only back, Joe. I was lucky enough to. I'd booked a flight to Alicante. And I was going to travel up to Paddy Point Celtic Supporters Club. We soon realised that we weren't getting tickets. I contacted Betis. They said, look, we're going from 40% to 60%. There'll be no away fans. So what I done was I changed my flights because the air companies now, because of COVID, you can change your flights, I think, up to the end of this year. So I changed my flights and said, right, well, at least I'll have another little holiday. And then I get home. The day I changed my flights, I get home, I enter the house and I hear the news that we're getting tickets. So check my email and say, yeah, you're getting a ticket. Send me passport details off. Book another flight. And this time I'm going directly into Seville. And then I go over to the Ross County game on the Friday. I think it's the Friday. I fall asleep in the hotel. I had a few points waiting to check in. Fall asleep, wake up. Dominic McKay has left the building and we're not getting tickets. We're not getting tickets for Seville. So you know, fucking hell, what's going on? And then, but look, I said, look, I'm going to go and change my arm. But I went, I lost my phone. I got it back 24 hours later. Taxi driver drops me to the wrong, he drops me to the wrong hotel, which turns out it's a bar. I walk in, I realise I haven't got my phone. And I just say, does anyone speak English? And they all speak English. You know, three of them, four, I think, spoke English in the bar. The co-owner of the bar, he's having a few beers. What's the problem? Throws me in the car. We start following the phone. Eventually, the phone leaves Seville and it's 10 miles out. But it's time for, he's a Betis fan. He's going to the game. So back in, and he offers me a season book, but it's a picture ID. He said, look, you can have it. But he says, you won't go through the second checkpoint.
Right.
So I'm saying, do I take the risk? Do I go down? Or do I stay here and watch the game? And at least I'll see the game. So I watched the game with Betis fans and Seville fans. But everyone was coming up talking about 2003.
Good.
You know, and even the ones that didn't speak English, there was people translating because my Spanish isn't so good.
Yeah.
But I have to say...
After all these years, your Spanish isn't good?
The people of Seville, my English isn't that good. The people of Seville haven't forgotten us, Joe. And it's just, I felt so welcome. And even the day I'm leaving, I get a message from Javi, who's the guy that owns the bar.
Yes.
He says, come to the bar and I'll bring you to the airport. So he comes to the bar and we have a coffee before I leave and he drives me to the airport. I think I'm going to have to be on my best behaviour when they come to Glasgow. I'll have to look after them, Joe.
Andrew, only you could fly all that way, lose your phone, etc., and still meet the owner of your bar. Is it just a knack you've got?
It's quite a good bar as well. I ended up on the second night of a 21st.
So you go to Paddy's Point, know the owner, go to Cabaroid, know the owner.
Well, you see...
Even Carlos is Seville.
Yeah, well, see, it's... You have to know the bar owner because you never know when there's going to be a lock-in.
I think there's a wee knack in that, aye.
I hope people don't think I'm an alcoholic that I'm never out of the pub. Joe, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to catching up with you for a beer and a chat off record. But listen,
brilliant.
Thanks so much for coming on and I'll send you the date of the dinner. We'll be looking after you this year again.
Yes.
And the Paradise Steps group, who we've done a little small charity night we do, which is every year. So looking forward to that. That'll be April, I think.
April.
I'll send you the date. I think it's the 9th after the St. Johnson game.
The 14th, maybe. Yeah,
the last home game anyway, before the split. But I'll send you all the details, and but I'll definitely see you before then for a beer.
Well, thank you for giving us a wee bit of air time tonight. Thank you for your company, and thank you all your listeners for their continued support.
Hail, hail, Joe.
Hail. Thank you very much, Andrew. Cheers.
Thanks very much to Joe for sharing his story and for letting us into his Celtic soul and for updating us on the great work of the Kana Foundation. And look, we wish them all the best for the rest of the season. We're keeping football free for kids. And in the old Celtic tradition, giving a lift over the turnstile. And folks, if you're a Celtic-minded business, a Celtic supporters club, and you would like to sponsor an episode of the podcast or sponsor us across the website or in the fanzine, please get in contact with us via the website, social media, or by emailing us at info@celticfanzine.com. You can also support us by visiting the website, CelticFanzine.com, where you can become a member, subscribe, buy, or donate for the price of the pint. Thank you for listening, and also thank you for watching the YouTube channel and for reading on the website and the fanzine. For further listening, can I recommend episode 9, when another of the Kano volunteers and the very talented poet Aaron Boyle joined us. In episode 36, social worker Kieran Kenny joined us for chat, and he has filled a bus or two with kids to enjoy the hospitality and the kindness of the Kano from his hometown of Dublin. And as I said earlier in the podcast, it was great to see Paul Heaton kind enough to wear one of our t-shirts on stage. And you can check out Paul's conversation with me back in episodes 60 and 64. If any artists want us to play out with their tune, song or poem, give us a shout. And please keep all the suggestions coming in for future guests. And let us know what you think of the show and indeed the fanzine. So please, please keep those comments coming in. Well, that's it, folks, for another episode of the Celtic Soul podcast. We play Dundee United on Sunday. And then it's another big European night against Bayer Leverkusen in Glasgow at Celtic Park under the lights. So until then, folks, keep the faith, stay safe, and hopefully I'll see you in Glasgow. And if not, I might bump into you on the road following the famous Glasgow Celtic. And we'll play out now with a poem from the very, very talented Glasgow poet, Aaron Boyle.
When I was wee, we didn't have BT Sport or Sky Sport or Celtic TV. I never even had a telly. I'd spend my week going at hard graft, going at welly for pennies. I'm telling you, pal, you don't know how lucky you've got it. You see, when my dad was working quite often down at the yards and my ma would give me some change for the game, but if I stuck an old man's booze up my jersey, he'd lift me to the turnstile to see the game. And I'd spend that change, and I'm a-kirin' while listening to the tune of the Jungle Boys making noise. It was paradise for me as a young boy. And as I grew up and went out with my pals, we drank thunder, tricolours in the ceiling, while feeling that this is something special. Though no marriage material, as my plans are far from Glasgow's territorial schemes, and it seems my pals praying to their tonic wine is a sign that this life isn't meant to be. So I kept it Celtic, only Celtic. I kept my scarf tucked into my chest, jacket zipped up, hiding my crest. I sung Celtic stories in a Celtic bar to the tune of tin whistle, mandolin and acoustic guitar. The adrenaline. My heart beats to the sound of the drum, and what you know now is section 111. My toes are numb, I'm not the only one. My true love seats 60,000. My true love is anything wrapped in white and green. Me and your mother surrounded by absolute scenes. I grew up in love with the Celtic supporters. Know the Calton Toms, our rebel songs, but a club like no other. You see, when I was wee, we didn't have toys under the tree in December, but socks with foot holes in them was what I asked for, and the best Christmas of all, a Celtic tap and a football. When I was wee, we didn't have BT Sport or Sky Sport or Celtic TV. As a Celtic fan now, pal, you don't know how lucky you've got it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.